Hallelujah.
He's good, isn't he? He's good. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I believe this is a message from heaven tonight. And it's a message for whoever showed up here tonight. It's probably a message for many people who didn't show up, but it's a message for you if you're here. So whether you're here because you live in Corey or you're here because you're from Mayville, take this as a message from heaven to you. Amen? Take it for you tonight. You're not just here because you're, you may be here because you want to serve, and that's awesome, but you're here because the Lord has something for you tonight. And I'm impressed to let you know that you're here for you as well, that you're here for you as well. Well, hallelujah. This sermon tonight, this message is called Keeping the Keeping Word. And you're like, okay, what's that about? I honestly couldn't explain in a title what the Lord was dealing with me about for this message tonight, because it just seems like, well, how could I put a title on that revelation? So if I have to give it a title, I'll call it Keeping the Keeping Word. And we're going to get into the Word of God here tonight, and it's good. It's so good. And I encourage you, grab hold of it for your own life. Let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 8, just to start with here. I love the Word of God. Oh, I had so much time in the Word this week, and I'm so thankful for that. I just feel like I can't get enough of it lately. And I'm believing that that stays and grows stronger and stronger. And you know what's awesome is the more I get into the Word, the more I want to be in the Word. And the more I'm in the Word and want to be in the Word, the more I get out of the Word. And then the more I get out of the Word, the more I want to go back to the Word to get more out of the Word. And so we want to be like that as Christians. We love the Word of God. We need to love the Word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You know what's awesome? I looked up that word stand, and it means to be made good. It means to accomplish. It means to be sure. The word of our God is sure forever. The word of our God accomplishes forever. The word of our God is made good forever. Isn't that awesome? The word of our God never goes away. It never becomes void. It's made good always, always. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, well, even still, his word in heaven is eternal, right? The word of the Lord never goes away. The word of the Lord never becomes void. He never lies. It's always, always, always true. That's good news, amen? Go ahead and turn to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers. Chapter 23 we're going to go to here. But before we get to this chapter, I want to encourage you, I want to tell you a little bit about that, because you probably, if you're like me, you probably don't typically open the book of Numbers as your personal devotion time, most likely. And, you know, the Lord's been really impressing it on me to understand the Bible as a whole. Now, listen, I know the importance of that. Always, I've known that for years, that yes, it's good, we should understand the Bible as a whole, but lately, it's like I just need to know all the details, and the Lord's been helping me to really relate to the situations, what really was going on. And so I'll give you some background knowledge. So what's happening now in the book of the Bible, of course, the book of Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. At this point, the Israelites have escaped slavery from Egypt. They're gone. They've already gone through the Exodus. They've already been to Mount Sinai, and they've experienced the presence of the Lord. He's visited them, and they've spent time, and they've lived at Mount Sinai for a while. And at this point, they're just leaving, basically, and they are on their way. They've gone through various cities, and the Lord keeps showing himself strong everywhere that they go. He's helping them everywhere that they go, because he told them they were going to go to the promised land, and he's helping them to get there, and he's helping them be strong. So right now, at Numbers 23, they're entering the land of Moab. Okay, and the king of Moab is not happy, because he's heard about the strength and the power that's come with these Israelites. He's heard about God meeting them there and helping them on their way. And so the king of Moab's like, I don't want them here. So he goes to this sorcerer, this Balaam, and he promises him all kinds of riches. He says, I'll give you gold, I'll give you silver. Just put a curse on them so they can't prevail. Right? And so that's where we're picking up here. But God visited Balaam, and he didn't let him put a curse on them. He did not let him, and instead, he made him speak the words that he gave him to speak. He was like, you're not putting a curse on my people. And so Numbers 23 here, we're going to continue at that point. Now, that was a real quick synopsis, but I encourage you, read the Bible. Understand what's going on when you're reading the Bible. So Numbers 23, verses 5 through 12, and I'm just going to read it right on here. The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak," that's the king, "and thus you shall speak." So he returned to him, the king, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him, there a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like this." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully." So he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" See, the Lord wouldn't even let somebody speak against his people. He was like, "You're not cursing my people. You're not going to curse my people. I don't let that happen. You don't have control, and you're not going to curse and stand against my chosen people." See, God won't let people come against his people. He will be on your side. The Lord is on my side. He's on your side. So back here in the Old Testament, these Israelites, God's chosen people, he made a covenant with them, and he was not going to leave them and forsake them. He didn't promise them things to go back on his word. Amen. And see, Satan knows he has no chance against God's people. He knows it. He's going to try, just like the king of Moab tried. He said, "Just get them out of there. They got too much power coming with them, and I don't want them here." Well, that's what's happening in this town. Do you know that? Satan doesn't want us here. There's power that comes with the word of God. There's power that comes with a church that preaches the word of God. And so, but here's the thing. God's not going to let us be cursed. God's not going to let us go without. God's going to make sure that we're blessed. God will fulfill his promises. That's all free, no charge. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. You can just pull it up on the screen. Don't turn there because we're staying in Numbers. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Nobody can be against us. That's the rhetorical question. Nobody can be against God's people. Nobody. All right, so we're going to skip down to verse 16 in Numbers 23. "Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, 'Go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak.' So he came to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, and when the princes of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, 'What has the Lord spoken?'" He already expected it, right? "Then he took up his oracle and said, 'Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." Satan and all the powers and all his minions. We like the Minions movies, right? But Satan and all his powers and all his minions, they can't reverse the blessing that the Lord has put on his people. See, nobody can rise up against you. Is God a man that he should lie? No. Or the son of man that he should repent? Repent meaning to change his mind? No. God never changes his mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never lies. He cannot lie. It's not in his nature. God is his word. He is his word. His word is as good as him. I love this testimony. I love this. When I was reading in here, I just love this because it's just so awesome. It's such a clear example. And listen, this was before Jesus came. This was before we were called the children of God. This was just God's chosen people. This was his chosen generation. But Jesus hadn't come and died for them yet. We have Jesus. We have Jesus that's already paid the price. How much more does this work for us? That God is on our side. That if God is for us, who can be against us? That if God has blessed us, who can curse us? Oh, hallelujah. It's so good here. Genesis 12. Verse 1, I want to go there. This is what God was being faithful to. This was the word that God had spoken that he was not going to undo. He wasn't going to change his mind about this. This was the word that he wasn't going to lie about and go back on this promise. And this title of this section in my Bible is called Promises to Abram. Promises to Abram. That's the title of this section in my scripture. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Listen, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He is faithful who promised. The Lord said this. He said, you are going to the promised land. I am making your people blessed. I am going to go against anybody who tries to curse you is not going to be able to do it. That's where he promised it. The Lord does not lie. He's always faithful. He is never slack concerning his promises. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn to John 1. And I want you to turn in your Bible because it's good for you to know where things are in your own Bible. And so we may be flipping around a lot, but it's worth it. It's worth it to know where it is. So God always keeps his promises. He kept his promises to the children of Israel, and he keeps them so much the more to us because he's made us his children. Amen? I was reading in the Dig Study Bible, and God emphasizes a truth here. For Balak was hoping something would result in a curse on Israel. And Balaam needed this message as well, for he had a secret longing for the reward, right, if Israel was cursed. Balaam wanted Israel to be cursed. He was going to get paid for it. He was going to get rich from it. But he couldn't do it. The Lord didn't let it happen. God told Balaam and Balak and all men in general that his callings, promises, and covenants with Israel had already gone out of his mouth and that he would not lie. He would not change his mind. He would do it. He would make it good. He had given it a commandment to bless, and he had blessed and could not reverse it because there was no iniquity in Jacob or perverseness in Israel, and he was their God. God cannot reverse what he promises. He can't. If he did, then the whole word of God would be void. The whole Bible would be a lie. If he could lie about one thing, the whole thing's a lie. But God cannot lie. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, you cannot separate God from his Word. He is his Word. His Word is as good as him, and he's only as good as his Word. See, that's how it works. They're the same. They're one and the same. You can't separate the two. Wow, if people could get a hold of that, amen? Hebrews 10:23, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified so we can just pull it up because you probably don't have an Amplified. Maybe you do. Says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. God is reliable. We have to get that in us. God's reliable. He said it. He will make it good. If he said it, he doesn't change his mind. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should repent, change his mind. If he said it, he made it good. He is as good as his word. So if you find it in his word, it's a promise for you out of the mouth of God. God doesn't have to come and sit next to you in a service and whisper in your ear. Do you know that's for you? It's for you. It's in the word of God. He promised it for you already. We have to get such a great revelation of who God is inside of us so that we don't waver in that. Because the devil's going to come and he's going to try to get against you and he's going to try to steal the word out of your life. But you have to understand that as long as you've got God on the inside of you, as long as God has given you his word, you got all the answers you ever need to know. And it's never going to be a lie. It's always the truth. So the devil will tell you it's a lie, but he's lying. Because it's in the word, it's the truth. It's never a lie. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians, go ahead and turn there to chapter 1. I love this. God is so reliable, and we need to be unwavering in that truth. We need to understand that. No matter what, God is faithful. No matter what, his word is true. No matter what, God is good. Amen? No matter what. And we don't just confess God is good. We have to understand it, and we have to get it in us. We can't forget it. We can't let it just be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I heard God is good. No, we need to know he's good. We need to know that you can't separate God from his word. We need to know that he is his word. That is him. That's him talking to you. That's him. We need to understand that. That's not blasphemy to say the Bible is God. The Bible is as good as God. I could have the Bible in front of me all the days of my life. I would choose that over one experience with God standing next to me in human form. Do you understand that? When he said that he had to leave so that and things would be better off when he left, that's what he was talking about. I'm giving you something that's going to be with you all the time. I'm giving you something that's going to be inside of you all the time. My word, my truth, I'm living there with you all the time. It's not just me sitting with you having dinner or walking the earth with you. I am with you all the time. I have to leave so something better can come. His word is eternal. His word is so good. Amen. All right, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Oh, hallelujah, I love this. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Through us. Listen. It glorifies God to be able to come through on his promises. It glorifies God. See, when people don't see the promises of God coming to fruition, when people don't see the word working in someone's life, it doesn't bring glory to God. In fact, it makes people question if God is even real. We've had this question come up lately, so I'm going to take a minute and address it. If somebody isn't walking out the promises of God, but has been given the scripture and been taught the word of God, it's because they didn't choose to walk out the promises of God. They never believed that God really was true and that what he says really would work in their life. Or if they did believe it, they weren't good ground and didn't let it stick. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. We need to make sure that we believe that God is faithful who promised. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. It glorifies him when we walk out his promises. It glorifies him when we're healthy. It glorifies him when we have prosperity. It glorifies him when our kids come to serve the Lord. It glorifies him for us to have nice things. It glorifies him for us to have peace. It glorifies him. But if we don't have all those promises, it doesn't glorify him. So why do you think he wants to do what he says he's going to do? Because he knows by him doing his word, it brings others to know him and his character. We need to be participants in that. A promise is a declaration or an assurance that something will be done. Everything God has declared, everything God has assured us of, oh, it will be done. It will be done. All of them are yes and amen. All of them. So if you have a desire of your heart and the word says he gives you the desire of your heart, that's twofold. He puts that desire on the inside of you and then he makes it come to pass. Amen. That's awesome. So if you're desiring a new job, you don't desire that because you just all of a sudden made that up. If you're desiring a new job, he put that desire on the inside of you. That's godly. That's all right to desire a new job. It's all right. It's good with God that you want something better. And if he put that on the inside of you and you desire it, he's going to help see it come to pass. You just believe him for it. If you're desiring for a spouse and it's on the inside of you that I want to be married, I want a spouse, he will see that come to pass. Do you know that? It's not ungodly to want a spouse. It's good. It's good. It's right and good. God talks about it in the word. It's okay. It's good. And if it's on the inside of you, he'll help it come to pass. Just do things his way. Do things his way and it'll come to pass. Amen. All the promises of God are in him are yes. And in him, amen. Hallelujah. He didn't establish his promises. He didn't establish them with a pinky promise. He didn't be like, I pinky swear. I pinky swear I'll do it. No, he didn't do that. His word is better than a pinky swear. He didn't say, I swear to God I'll do it. Right? He said, I am telling you my word is sure. I'm telling you it's reliable. I am telling you I do not change. I am telling you if I have a promise for you, it is good for all eternity. It does not go away. My promises do not become void. My word does not ever go slack. Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You may hear me praising the Lord and glorifying him And, you know, you may walk by me and I'm singing. I don't have the best voice, but I'll tell you what, I love to sing praises to him. I love to tell him, glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, as much as I can throughout the day. And it would do you good to do the same. Hallelujah. Oh, gosh, if this doesn't show you the character of God, I don't know what will. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't fall short on the promise of Jesus. He could have. If there was any promise he was ever going to try to go back on.
Yeah.
Listen, if that was your son, if that was your child, if you could go back on it, you know what I mean? If you could get away with going back on it, you would have gone back on it. God didn't go back on that promise. God sent his son. He let his son take the punishment of the whole world. The son that he loved more than we could ever even imagine. That we could never even put it in human terms. If he wouldn't go back on that promise, then what promise would he go back on? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. Do you understand that? If he gave us Jesus, I got to read that again because it's just so good. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? How shall he not with him freely give us all his promises? How shall he not with him freely do all the things he said he was going to do? He said he was going to do it. He did it. He made it good. He'll do it for every single thing he promised. He who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. I love the faith of this testament. Go ahead to Matthew chapter 8. I love the faith of this man here. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the centurion. Hallelujah. The centurion's servant. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. God is so faithful. He who promised is faithful. His word is true. It's the truth. It's not a lie. He doesn't go back on his promises. We're going to read Matthew 8, 5 through 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Okay, let's go heal him. We'll take care of it. Great, we'll go handle that. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. This centurion had something, he understood something. He wasn't saying, I'm not worthy because I'm not good enough in your eyes, Jesus. Right. He was saying, listen, I don't even want you to take the time to come all the way over to my house because I understand you've got things you've got to do. Yeah. Yeah. Just say the word, and it'll take care of it. It'll just say the word. For I am also a man under authority, says the centurion, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Yeah. What I love about this man here, this centurion, he understood that Jesus' word was as good as him. Yeah. He understood that if Jesus said it, he made it good. So I don't even need you to physically show me anything else other than your word. All I need to know is your word. If you said the word, I know it's true. We have to be like that. That's amazing. He said, I haven't even found such great faith in all of Israel. Among millions of people, I haven't even seen that kind of faith. Say the word and it's done. It's good as done. We need to be like that. We need to know that as long as the word is there, it's as good as done.
Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. So that man, that centurion, had a revelation of who Jesus was. His word is as good as him. And I want to show you that our word is as good as us. Hallelujah. We're called to be like Jesus. Go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 30. We're called to be like Jesus, and we have to be doers of our own word. Because the Lord is a doer of his word, and he called us to be like him, and he wants us to be a doer of our word. So we're going to look at that. We want to make sure that we are good examples. And we're doers of our own words. Doers of his word, of course. But we want to be doers of our own words. We don't want to say something and go back on it. We don't want to say something and have it have our, you know, no be yes and our yes be no. We want to make sure we're doers of our own word. So let's look at chapter 30, Numbers 30, verses 1 and 2. Then Moses said to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. The Lord commands this, okay? If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. God has a principle that he's established there. Be a doer of your word. Don't tell somebody you're going to do something and don't do it. Don't have your I want to be I'm not going to, or I'll do it be I won't, or I don't want it but go and do it, right? You want to make sure that you're not slack concerning the words coming out of your mouth, that if you say something, you make it good. See, in society, here's the problem. So many times in society, people are going back on their words. People are liars. People will tell you one thing and do another. And so even Christians are like that. And so the Christians will say, oh, yeah, I'll help you out. I'll be over at your house to help you out with this. And then they never show up. And then what is that example to those people? That example is saying, oh, they're not good for their word. They're not. They'll say it, but they don't really mean it. And that's not glorifying God. See, and the problem with this, the greater problem with that, is that when the world sees people always going back on their promises, they can't fathom that God actually would keep his. You know what I'm saying? They think that they look at God in human terms because that's the understanding that they have. And so humans are always lying and going back on their word and saying they'll do one thing and doing another, and they don't keep their promises and they pinky swear and that means nothing. And they look at God and they're like, well, I don't really believe. How could somebody keep their promise? He said it, but will he really do it? He said it, but is it really true? See, the word of God is true, but if his Christians aren't showing people that they keep their word, how are they showing people that God will keep his? Amen? So we want to make sure that we always, always, always keep our word. I would rather not say anything than say something and go back on it. Matthew 5:37. And I'm just going to pull it up here. But let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Listen, you say yes, do it. You say no, okay, don't do it. But don't say yes and then, oh, maybe I will, or I will only if. Let's not put a bunch of stipulations and change our mind. See, the Lord says, I am not a man that I should lie, the son of man that I should repent or change my mind. If you say something, don't change your mind on it. Listen, I remember when I was first mothering these boys. I was really young. Okay, my husband was married before, and these boys were born in a different marriage, but I came early on as a 22-year-old woman, and I took on two boys and started raising them as my own. And I was a teacher, and I had gone to college, and I had learned about a bunch of child development and all these things, you know. But when they started being naughty, I had to figure out how do you punish, like, what's discipline like? I mean, if I'm at school, I can put them in the corner, I can call their parents, or I can give them to the principal, but, like, I have to handle this. And I remember being like, you're grounded from crossing the street. And I remember one or two times they'd be like, we'd be going to go somewhere, and they'd be like, and I'm like, come on, guys, we've got to go get in the car. And they're like, we're grounded from crossing the street. But I had to keep my word, right? I knew that. I knew that as a parent, if I said one thing, I needed to stick with it. I couldn't say, you're in trouble and you're not allowed to do this, but then let them do it. Or I couldn't say, you're in trouble and this is your punishment, and then say, well, never mind about the punishment, because they wouldn't take me seriously. Right. But likewise is the case with Christians who say one thing and go back on their word. People don't take you seriously. Right. And if people don't take Christians seriously, they don't take God seriously. Right. And God is serious about that promise. God is serious about him being truthful. God is serious about his promises always being yes and amen. So we need to be serious about it. And I know that's kind of, you know, funny. I mean, there were many things. I'll tell you some stories sometime. But I had to learn that I should probably make sure that whatever I say in my anger or my, like, quick response is something I can follow through with. Amen. Hallelujah. When God said it, he meant yes. When he says yes, he meant yes. All right, Proverbs 12:22. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:22. God's word is so good. It's so good. You know, this could correct us. I mean, there's probably times that we've told white lies. I mean, I remember being a kid and the phone would ring and my dad would be like, if it's so-and-so, tell him I'm not here. I'd be like, but you are here, Dad. You are here. Well, yeah, but tell them I'm not. All right. You know, we all have probably told a white lie. I can't do that because this is going on, but really it's not going on, you know. Or I would do that, but, and you know, the Lord says that anything done in darkness will come to light. So we want to make sure that we're just honest from the get-go. Let's just be honest from the get-go. Right? Let's just have our yes be yes and our no be no and just be honest from the get-go. All right, Proverbs 12:22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. We could also say those who deal truthfully are his glory. They bring glory to him, right? Because the word said that, right? And delight and glory and bringing him joy and the sweet-smelling aroma, right, that we want to be to the Lord, that's when we are dealing truthfully. So we've all known people who have said, well, do one thing, and then they don't do it. And we all understand that that doesn't feel good, and it's hard to trust them after that. And so we want to make sure that we're not those people. Yeah. We want to be the ones who deal truthfully, amen? We want to keep our word. He is his word. You can't separate the two. He is a doer of his word. He has to be. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He is a doer of his word. We should be a doer of our words. We should be a doer of his word. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 John 2:3-6. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. This is so good. Keeping the keeping word is what we're calling this. Keeping the keeping word. We're going to get to the keeping word part of this all, but let's read 1 John 2:3-6. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:3-6. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, if we keep his word, we know him. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments, keep his word, is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We keep his word, we're in him. If we keep his word, that's proof that we're his people. When we're doers of his word, when we walk as he walked, we ought to walk as he walked, the word says. If we walk as he walked, then we know that we're in him and he is in us and we are one and we are his people and he is our God. Amen. We want to make sure we're being faithful to that. All right, so now we're going to talk about the keeping word. See, if we keep his word will keep us. And we're going to talk about that. If we keep his word will keep us. And listen, if you can't keep your own word and you lie to your own, you know, you have lies coming out of your own mouth, you won't believe God's word either. Not even just other people, but you won't believe it either. Because if you lie and you're not walking in integrity and you're not being honest, then you're not going to recognize honesty and you're going to have doubt. Because you can't be dishonest and not have doubt in your life. It doesn't work that way. So we can't trust God when we can't even trust ourselves to be truthful with what we say. And sometimes people lie to themselves. I've known people who have convinced themselves of certain truths that are totally not true. And they believe that they're true and they have convinced themselves to their own demise. But the word of God is truth. We need to be honest about the word. We need to be honest with God, with ourselves. Amen. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to purify and to cleanse. The word of truth purifies us, it cleanses us as long as we're doers of it, amen? And so we're going to look at doing the word and letting the word keep us. His words will keep us, amen? Proverbs 18:21. Oh, let's find this, because you need to know where this is in your Bible. You should have this underlined already. You should know where this is, and you want to make sure that you get this on the inside of you. Proverbs 18:21. Hallelujah. Word is good. Amen. Amen. This may not be some hooting and hollering message, but I hope you're learning something here tonight. It's good encouragement. We want to make sure we're doers of our own word. We're doers of the word of God. Amen. The word of God is life. The word of God is true. Let's let it be true in our life. Let's do our part to let it be true. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You choose which life you're going to have by what words you put in your mouth. So let's make sure we're speaking good things. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word. If you keep my word, there's the life in the power of your tongue, right? If you keep my word, there's the life in the power of your tongue. All right, Matthew 4:4, you know this scripture. For sake of time, we're not turning there. Sorry. Get it written down and look at it later. But he answered, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man's life comes from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. It's written in there too. Man shall live by the word of God. Man shall live and be preserved and be kept by the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians because we've got a couple of scriptures over there. Ephesians 5, verse 26. The word is good. It's so good. I mean, if we could just get a hold of how good it is. I've heard pastors say and ministers say, and I believe it too. If you could just open people's heads up and like stick the word in there and pack it in there. You just want people to get it. It's just so good. Ephesians 5, 26 through 27. That he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, his people, his body, with the washing of water by the word. That he, by the word, might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, his church, his body, should be holy and without blemish. The word washes us. The word is our water. It cleanses us. It purifies us. It keeps us. It preserves us without spot or blemish. Without spot or wrinkle or blemish. The word is what keeps us. The word is what preserves us. Amen. When you think about wrinkles, what do you think of? Getting older, right? Wrinkles are your skin aging, right? Which is okay, obviously. But the Lord said that I will preserve you with my word. I will preserve you with my word. And then just skip down to chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What do you do with a helmet? You pick it up and you put it on. What do you do with a sword, Caleb? He likes swords and knives and things. You use it, right? If you were like a real warrior, if you were like a warrior, whatever, people use swords, you'd like chop stuff with it. You would protect yourself with it. You would fight your battles with it, amen? That's what the word is supposed to be for us. That's how he keeps us by his word. He says, put it on, pick it up, put it on. Let it be the word, the helmet of salvation, the thing that preserves you, the thing that keeps you alive, the thing that gives you strength. Use it as your sword, the thing that wins your battles for you, the thing that fights when you don't have it in you physically to fight. We don't fight with, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, right? We don't fight a carnal, a fleshly warfare. We fight in the realm of the Spirit. And the word of God is what keeps us. The word of God is what protects us. God made us able to speak his word for a reason. He knew that when we picked up his word and we put it on and we let it come out of our mouth, that it would keep us, it would protect us, it would preserve us. Amen? I love that. Matthew 12:37, it says, for your words, you will, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If you don't want to be kept by the word of God, then don't be kept by the word of God. I can't force anybody to be kept by the word of God. You have to choose to pick it up and put it on. You have to choose to use it to fight your battles. You have to choose to be a doer of it. You have to choose to be honest with yourself, tell yourself the truth, and then abide by it. We have to choose it. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the word of God. I love the word of God. Let's see. Go ahead and turn to Luke 11:28. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you about Mark chapter 4. And we actually see this account in in all of the Gospels. We see Mark chapter 4 says, the sower sows the word. The word of God is something that needs to be sown. That means it needs to be put forth. It needs to be utilized. Yeah. The word of God sitting on your shelf does nothing. It will not keep you. Yeah. It will not protect your house. Yeah. The word of God is not some like good luck charm that if you put it on the shelf in your house, then no evil shall befall your house. People believe that. People believe that stuff. They have all kinds of trinkets and things that they put in their house to preserve their house. Oh, the word will preserve you, but only if you put it on your lips, only if you use it, only if you pick up the helmet and you put it on, you pick up the sword and you use it. Amen. I think that was a baseball bat, but hey. Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Those who hear the word of God are keep it. And keep here means to be on guard, to preserve it, to keep from being snatched away, to preserve safe and unimpaired. When we keep the word safe, when we don't let it get taken away from us, remember the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? But God has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Really, we could say that the word has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, because God is his word. I'm not blaspheming the scripture. That's the truth. The word is God. So the word has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy that word. He tries to come and take that word. But blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. Keep it from being snatched away. Keep it preserved. Keep it on guard. And blessed means, oh, I love this. I'm going to read this with this new understanding. Blessed means preserved, supremely fortunate, happy, safe, and unimpaired. So let's read this. More than that, preserved, supremely fortunate, happy, safe, and unimpaired are those who hear the word of God and keep it from being snatched away out of their hearts and keep it on guard and keep it preserved. Hallelujah. That's who is blessed. Keeping the keeping word. That's where I got the title, because I was like, I don't know what to call it, but that's what I would call it, because we need to be keepers of the keeping word. God has made us guard keepers. God has made us the ones who stand guard with our sword, with our helmet, so that the devil can't come and snatch the word out of our life. And then that word that we are keeping guard, that's our life. That's the whole package, everything God's got to preserve us and to bless us. That's why we have to be so on guard about it. We have to keep the keeping word. The word will keep us when we keep it. And when we keep the word, we'll have everything that the word promises. All the promises in God of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. And I want to end with this scripture. John 14:23-24. John 14:23-24. I love the word of God. I love the word of God. I could sing a song about how much I love the word of God. And if I was home, I probably would. That's what I do. You know that? I sing to God all the time. Oh, Lord, I love your word. I love your word. You're so good. You're so good. You are so good. I love your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. And I sing and I make a little, I'll hum to him. I'll tell him how good he is. I just thank him all the time. Oh, I love the word. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you how much the word means to my life. I cannot tell you. And I would love for everybody to be like, man, this is my word. I am keeping it. You cannot take this. I am keeping this. This is mine. I keep guard over it. I preserve this word. I love it. I was talking about it a few weeks ago here, that people in other countries who aren't allowed to have the Bible in front of them or they'll get killed, they'll be punished or in prison for having a Bible, they put that word in their heart. And that's what I've been endeavoring. I just want this word kept inside of me, because this sitting on a shelf is not as protected as once it's really ingrained in you. Amen. The devil can't steal it once it's on the inside of you, because he has no access there. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, he'll guard my word. He'll preserve that. He'll keep it from being snatched away. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. If you won't keep his word, if you won't hang on to that word, if you won't let that word dwell in you richly, if you won't let that word be your helmet and your sword, then you can't truly love him. Because if you can't hang on to his word, then how are you going to hang on to him in trial? His word is our hope. His word is our help. If you love me, keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. God's not separate from His word. God always keeps His word. We need to keep our words, and we need, so that we can remind ourselves and teach ourselves that keeping the word is something that's possible, that God actually keeps His word, that He's actually a doer of it, and then we need to be a doer of His word, and we need to keep His word. Amen.